There is a well-worn path that stretches its way across every human life. And its influence is permanent. It's like scratching your initials in wet cement. And our response to what happens to us on that path will shape every other relationship in our lives. It's on that path our attitudes are formed, our convictions are developed, and our character is shaped. And it's priceless. You can't put a value on this path. And it's utterly impossible to grow up without walking down it. It's the single greatest influence in our life other than God Himself. And I'm talking about our relationship with our parents, those who raised us, our home. So as we begin a series today on healthy relationships, that's where we must start. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, you'll find that the fifth commandment, which bridges the first four, which are about God, and the next six that are about people, the bridge is this one. Honor your father and your mother in order that it might go well with you and in the land so that you will prosper. This is repeated by Jesus three times. It's repeated by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. And you can take that command and you can put it into one five-letter word. Honor. We're to honor them. So we've got three questions to answer today. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? What does that mean, really? Why does God insist that we do it? What's His reasons behind it? And then how do I do it? So first of all, what does it mean? The Hebrew word honor literally means weighty or heavy. And it's talking about respect of the person who's in that role as your parent or your guardian. Weighty or heavy. It doesn't say just do it if they deserve it. It doesn't say do it if you feel like it. Do it if other people are doing it. Do it so that you'll get kudos. It just says you are to honor them. And it's not just for children. This applies all the days of our life. Even if your parents are dead, you can still obey this commandment. Honor them. Now, the Greeks had a term that's the opposite of honor, and that term meant vapor. Treating them like just a vapor. Then you think, well, that's not harmless. Until the vapor descends on an airport and shuts it down. Or there's vapor on a freeway and there's a pileup. And there are a whole lot of homes that don't launch people well and they pile up in broken relationships because they're homes of dishonor. Now, I want to tell you, this is so serious. Did you know that three times in the Old Testament, God says, if you don't do this, you ought to be put to death? That's pretty serious. Now, why? Because when you don't do this, here's what we're doing. We're ripping the fabric of society. We're blowing a hole in the side of society's ship. This sin of dishonoring parents ripples all across every other relationship, and it destroys a culture and a society. So God insists that His people do this. Honor your father and your mother. Second, normal question is, well, why? Why is God so insistent on this? Here's what I've come to believe going through this over and over again. If we obey this commandment, God says, I've just handed you a key. It will unlock doors that can't be unlocked any other way, and it'll give you a bright future. It will bless your life. It will spill over into every other relationship. That's why He's telling us to do it. There is a good God who is sovereign, who is behind this commandment. Here's the way the Bible presents itself. First, it gives you precepts. Do this and do that. Behind every precept is a principle, and behind the principle is God. It's utterly impossible to say, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and at the same time, I dishonor my parents. Utterly impossible. If you honor God, you will honor your parents. Now, here's one of the reasons God gives us this commandment. Because we're in a fallen world. We're sinful. It's corrupt. And when we obey this commandment, we are countering the effects of the fall. We're pushing back against the darkness. And this is a common grace. God has written His law in every heart. That's why in almost every culture through the world, you see that this is written into it. We just know it's the right thing to do to honor our parents. I took our student pastor, Greg O'Dell, who's a wonderful pastor, to lunch, and I just picked his brain for an hour on this, because this is what he works with young people. He gave me some great zingers. I can't share them all, but I'm giving him credit. Here's one of the zingers he shared with me. He said, haven't you noticed whenever somebody breaks the pattern of dishonor and shame and they break it and they become healthy and they start honoring back, it's because they've lined themselves up with biblical principle. And whenever the chain isn't broken and there's dishonor, it's because they've rejected the biblical principle. God has written this in the heart of every person. And here's the thing to remember. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. They don't exist except God. So quit going around saying, my parents aren't this, that. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. And it's not an excuse to dishonor them. The only way, if you have been dishonored by your parents, it's hard to give them honor back. And you can nurse that wound and develop bitterness and you'll spread it to everybody else. It'll pollute your life. And the only way to break the chain is to return honor, even if you're dishonored. That's what breaks the chain. And this is the real issue. Have you noticed, this is Greg O'Dell too. He said, have you noticed that every generation looks at the next generation and, well, in my day, and, you know, puts them down. Oh, the youth have gone to hell today. I mean, we all do that. Every generation, right? Now, one of the reasons we do that, it may be true. But another reason is because it makes us feel better about ourselves. It's a way to promote self-righteousness. But here's what Greg said. Okay, if the generation before me did that and then I'm doing it, then just keep tracing it back. You get all the way back to Adam. So he started this, and we inherited a sin nature, so here's what it tells you. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. And here's what I've learned. The only power on earth that can change a human heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will change a human heart. Your relationship with your parents, not only if you honor them do you counter the effects of the fall, but one of the reasons God gives us this command is because your relationship with your parents will impact every other relationship in your life. It's impossible to separate them. You may have dishonoring parents, a broken relationship, returning dishonor back. I hate them. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, it'll follow you all the days of your life unless you repent and do it right. For example, how many of you have heard people say things like this? I'll never be like my father. He was a blankety blank blank. Only to have his wife say, you're just like him. Or my mother, and you're just like her. Why? Here's why that happens. The moment you begin to play the mental record and list all of the bad things in your parent and to swear, I'll never be like you, you've just determined you'll be exactly like them. Why? Because number one, you're not forgiving them. Number two, you're playing the mental record every time they come to your mind and you become like what you focus on. And you have just damned yourself twice. Not only the dishonor from them, but now you're bringing it to the next generation. And it impacts every relationship. Here's how it's supposed to work. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then show honor to your parent. If you refuse to forgive them and you cut them off emotionally and relationally, then you've also blocked this relationship and you're left only with your sin nature. God knows it affects everything. I've been on the board of Pioneers for over 20 years. We send missionaries all over the world. And through the years, I've interviewed hundreds of missionaries. And here's what I've learned. The number one problem on the mission field is not a lack of finances. It's not learning the language of the culture or having a poor strategy. Number one problem, missionaries can't get along with each other. And if you trace underneath, in 90% of the cases, it's because there's something wrong with their parental relationship and they never got it right and they're just bringing it right to the field. 80% of the people who get fired from their jobs, 80%, it has nothing to do with their skill. It has a lot to do with they can't get along with people. And if you look underneath it, the reason they can't get along with people is because they have a dysfunctional relationship with their parents. They never cleaned it up, and it's following them. If you're dating someone, then if you're a young lady, hear me. Check out how he treats his mother. Because I'm telling you, you marry him, that's the way he's going to treat you. And if you look at a young man or look at a young woman, how does she relate to her father? I promise you, she'll treat you the same way one day. It'll follow you all the days of your life. So God gives this to us for our good. And there's a positive promise given here. So that it will go well with you and you'll live long. Now, that doesn't mean, I've known plenty of people who honored their parents, they died young. So it doesn't mean you're going to live forever. And if you're 100, it doesn't mean because you honored your parents necessarily. But what it means is this impacts all of society. You're ripping a hole in society if you don't obey this. The promise is it blesses the society. And here's the key. If you honor your parents, it improves your relationship with God. And if you have a right relationship with God, you will honor your parents. They go together. For example, several years ago, a young godly man who had a great marriage, two children, walking with the Lord, came to me and he said, God left me. I said, what do you mean? He said, I just can't get in touch with him. It's like he left me. So we spent an hour, and I examined everything. You got any secret sins, beating your wife? I mean, what is it? Just, we went through everything in his life, and he got A's. And then I finally, an offhanded comment, I said, what about your father? I hate him. I said, bingo, that's your problem. So we developed a plan together, and I said, go make it right with your daddy, and see if God doesn't come back. He flew to California after preparing. He got things right with his dad, and I still can see his face. He came back and said, God's back! Now, that was in Oregon. Then I moved here. 10 years go by, and he called me one night and he said, I want you to get the rest of the story. He said, not only did I get right with my dad and God came back, but this week we were both ordained to the gospel ministry. And we're partners in ministry together. And he's my best friend. It makes a huge difference. My mom and my dad did a great service to me. I never once, not once from either one growing up, heard them dishonor their parents. Never. And so I thought very well of my grandparents, and I honored them. And by that example, I honored my parents. And it wasn't until my father died that I learned that he came from a dishonoring home. That his mother never told him, I love you. That she played favorites. I never knew it. He broke the chain. And he did it for Christ's sake. And related to that, please hear me. When you get wounded by a parent and it's a dishonoring home and you don't honor back and forgive, your tendency is to go around giving bad reports on your parents. Now, what's a bad report? A bad report is sharing negative information about somebody that doesn't need to be shared. The person you're telling about, they're not a part of the problem. They're not a part of the solution. It's just dumping garbage. So if you're going around giving bad reports on your parents, you are cursing yourself. You're dishonoring God, and it ought to stop. Make a vow to yourself, don't do that. That violates this commandment. So here's another little thing I learned from Greg O'Dell. Everybody's paying it forward. You're either paying forward a curse or you're paying forward a blessing. And you can trace it right back to whether you honor your father and your mother. And if you're not doing it, you become a pollutant in the body of Christ and you're messing your life up. This is why God gives us the commandment. For His glory and our good. And the real issue, it's a heart issue. And the only power on earth that can change a heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that takes us to our last and most important point. How do I do it? How do I honor my father and my mother? And there are four things to do. They all start with an A. But please hear me. These all flow out of the gospel. And the gospel gives you the greatest news on earth. God accepts you in Christ. He died for you. He rose again. He gives you a new life. If you're trusting Him, He does these four things to you. And He expects you to pass it along to your parents. Number one is to accept them. To accept them. A lot of people just don't accept their parents. I just reject the way you are. I don't like you. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another just as God and Christ has accepted you. As you get older, here's what will help you accept your parents. Look at their background. Look at how their parents treated them, what they went through. That shapes what they are. And get some aha moments and begin to accept them. You accept them by listening to them, by not comparing them with other parents, and not focusing just on the negative, but on the positive. We send a lot of missionaries out from Cherrydale, and one of the things we won't do is send them to the field if they've got broken relationship with parents that they have not tried to fix. Several years ago, a young godly woman, we were going to send her to the field, and she said, I hate my daddy, and said, you're not going until you get it right. So read books, prayed, ministered to her, encouraged her, and finally, through a long process, she went and made things right with her daddy. And then she went to the field. 6 months later, her daddy dropped dead. The first call she made was to me. And she said, I want to thank you for insisting that I get it right. Because he's dead and my conscience is clear. And now today, she's a mother of four. She broke the chain. She can pass the blessing on to the next generation. Accept them. So here's the question to ask yourself. Does Christ and His commandments shape my relationship with my parents, or does the corruption and the sin of my parents shape my relationship with them? It's my choice. Second thing to do is affirm them. Now, God affirms us. We're created in His image. Christ died for us. He calls you the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He's a very affirming God, especially in the gospel. We're to pass that along to our parents. Affirm them. In your bulletin today, there's an insert called How to Make a Tribute to Your Parents. If you've never done this, I want to urge you to take it home, read it, and apply that. We do a lot of premarital counseling at Cherrydale, and we will not marry a couple unless they've done this. It's part of their homework. At your wedding reception, read a tribute, write a letter to your in-laws. Now, here's what that does. It gets you to think of the good things you can affirm them for, and it honors the parent, and it heals the relationship, and they begin to filter you through that honor. It makes a huge difference. Especially with in-laws. When I was a newlywed, my sweet Maybell just decided to write a letter to my parents. Chose Father's Day and Mother's Day. And in the letter she said, I want to thank you for investing in my husband. I'm reaping the benefits. Here are the qualities I see in him because of you. And here are the qualities I see in you, and I'm grateful. Now you'd think they'd say, oh, that's a nice little letter. What they did is they read it over and over. They used to put that letter in their little chairs in their den, and they told me they read them 100 times. Now let me tell you what that did. Every time my wife came to mind, she was filtered. It was great healing to the relationship. Affirm them. Third thing is appreciate them. Appreciate them in your heart. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good to those whom it is due if it's in your power to do it. The healthiest attitude is gratitude. Now, you might be sitting here saying, but you don't know my parents. I mean, I can't think of anything to be grateful for. You just have no idea. Then listen carefully. I'll give you at least 2 things to start your list, no matter how bad they were. Number one, they took some effort to get you into this world. Number two, they sacrificed to get you here, and they put up with a lot of your stuff. And you can start there. We had an intern here several years ago, a young man going into the ministry. We were working with he and his wife, and they came in one day, and she said, I don't know if we can go ahead, because the truth is, I hate my father. And I know I can't be a pastor's wife if I hate my daddy, so we started working on that. Gave her books to read. She told me all about her daddy. I ended up hating the dude. He was a creep. But we still had this commandment. And so it's a hard issue. So start by thinking of something you're grateful for. That is nothing. Just keep praying. She came into my office with her husband. She had 50 things she could thank God for about her father. And I said, great. Now write him a letter and tell him. And she did it. Her daddy broke down crying, invited her to visit. She went up and led him to Christ and changed the relationship. Appreciate them. The last one is don't abandon them. Don't abandon them. 1 Timothy 5:8, in the context, it's an elderly parent, a widow. And this is strong, strong language. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, in the context, an elderly aged parent. If you do not provide for your own, your elderly parent, you have denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. Now that's strong language. God is saying, I so connect the gospel to your relationship with your parents. If you don't provide for them in their old age and don't honor them, you've denied the faith. You've turned your back on God. That's strong language. Now, most of us would say, okay, I get that one. I mean, Jesus modeled it. He's hanging on the cross. He's bearing the sin of the world. He's in agony. And he stops and honors his mother and makes sure she's provided for with the Apostle John. That's a great example. Where most of us will fall is neglecting them emotionally, relationally, psychologically. Just kind of abandon them in our spirit. Could be just busyness, not on purpose. For example, several years ago, I was out to lunch with one of our church leaders. During lunch, he was going on and on about his parents and how he sees them every week and talks to them and family celebrations. He just went on and on and on. And I was getting more and more convicted because I was afraid he was going to reverse it and ask me. Because he talked to his parents every other day, and he finally reversed it, and I went, oh boy. Now at the time, I was extremely busy, and I was neglecting my parents. And he said, how often do you connect with your mother and daddy? He went, once a month. I said, what did you say? Once a month. And then he stopped the conversation, he looked at me, and he said, you mean to tell me you're my pastor, and you don't honor your father and your mother? What's wrong with you? I went, I don't know, but I'm changing it. And I began to repair that, and I started calling my parents. And now every Sunday afternoon for years, I talk to my mama. My daddy's in heaven. Can't tell you how that blesses her, blesses me. I was just neglecting it. Don't do that. I've got our little granddaughter in the home with us till January 2nd. After that, pray for me. I'll go into grief counseling because she'll go away. But we talk a lot about stories, and I was reviewing this week. I haven't shared it with her, but Grimm's Fairy Tales. And here's the one that I noticed this week. It's a story about a son who had his aged father come live with him and his family. And as the father's health and hearing and everything deteriorated at the dinner table every night, he would spill his milk, he would drool, he'd make messes, and finally they'd had enough and they said, okay, granddad, you're sitting in the corner, you get your own table, sit over there and make your messes over there. That went on for a few weeks, and the dad came home from work and his little son was playing and making things with blocks, and he said, oh, what are you making, son? He said, oh, a table? What are you going to do with it? Oh, this is the table I'm going to put you and mom at in the corner when you become an old man. Granddaddy came back to the table. You may be burning the bridge that you've got to walk over one day. Okay, there's some people sitting here saying, yeah, but. And I know what the yeah, buts are. I got an addicted parent. I've got an abusive parent. They're alcoholics. They've abused me. I mean, all kind of stuff. That doesn't give you an excuse not to still obey this. You may have boundaries in place. You may be wise in the relationship. But God says, forgive them and still honor them when you can and break the chain. And if you don't, it'll curse you twice. Not only they're hurt, but then you're putting it on yourself. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll close with this. It says, children obey your parents. When you're a child, you obey them. When you grow up, you honor them. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. It's God's law. Do it. Do it in the Lord. Parents are to be an umbrella of protection. And if you're under their authority properly, God uses that to protect you in most cases. There are rare exceptions. That's where you get a new parent or a foster home. But in most cases, it's true. So in most cases, children, hear me. If you're rebelling against the authority of your parents, mark this down. 1 Samuel says this, rebellion is equal to witchcraft. It's satanic. Because the first rebel was Satan. And if you feed that rebel spirit, you are going to damn yourself. It'll follow you all the days of your life. Repent. Obey that commandment. Now, what about the other side of the coin? It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In our culture, it's very permissive. We need to remember this. The word honor is used in 1 Samuel of Eli the priest. Here's what God said to him. You honored your sons above me. Therefore, you're cursed and so are they. He would not discipline his sons. He wouldn't confront them. And he damned his whole house. So you discipline your kids. You use your authority. But here's what it says. Don't provoke them. And here's the vivid Greek word he uses. It means to draw somebody's spirit out and rough it up. You're not to do that. Don't provoke them to anger. How do you do that? You never admit you're wrong to your kids. You never ask forgiveness. Oh, you go tell your brother you're sorry. They never hear you do it. That's hypocrisy. It roughs their spirit up. Name calling, comparing, making promises you don't keep, inconsistent, not loving their mother, not loving their father, that messes their spirit up. When you point them to Christ and model it, then you bring them up. And that little word is beautiful. It's used in Ephesians of you nurture, you care for your own body. You do it every day. That's the way you're to do it with your kids. So when you put it all together, here's what hit me, church family. We got to come to terms with this. We are in a dishonoring culture. And if followers of Christ, we got to say, no, as for me and my house and my heart, in this area, I'm getting an A in the power of the Holy Spirit. I will honor my father and my mother, and that glorifies God. It blesses the culture and it blesses my life. It's the right thing to do. And if I'm not doing it, starting today, I repent. I want to give you one sentence to meditate on this week. Just write it down and meditate on it. One relationship will determine the health of all of your relationships. One relationship will determine the health of all your relationships, and that one relationship is with God. And the first place it shows up is with your parents. So we're coming to communion today, and I want to close with where we started. There is a well-worn path that's stretched across every human life. Here's the wisest thing we can do. Invite Jesus to get on that path with you. Invite Him to bring healing to your heart and to all your relationships. Start with your parents and see if you don't experience Him profoundly. Let's pray together and then we'll come to communion. Lord Jesus, thank You that You honored God the Father. You honored Your human mother and Joseph. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You died for us, rose again, and You come to live within us, and You change our hearts, and You align us with Scripture for Your glory and our good. And we pray that as we come to Your table today, we'd come with repentant, broken hearts, hearts that want to obey You and depend on You to live Your life through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.